Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. The word of God is life. The word of God is power. The word of God is forevermore. Hallelujah. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed, enriched, and edified, nourished by the word of God. And we'll be studying Bible truths concerning the local church. Bible truths concerning the local church. Amen. If you've been upset, unsettled, or disturbed, bothered by this broadcast, do good to reach out to us. Amen. Some have sent in their comments. Some have expressed their concern. Amen. But then, we have to be open-minded to receive the word of God. We have to open up our hearts to receive the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, there are certain facts in the scriptures that you can term hard facts. I mean, it's so hard, so difficult to stomach or to receive or to accommodate, but then it's the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Praise God. Difficult to accept, but it is the truth of the word of God. And a believer in Christ Jesus, you know, is allowed to say, it is hard, it is hard, it is difficult, but I submit. Praise God. Rather than say, I cannot take it. For instance, the idea that believers can be poor, believers can fall sick, believers can go through hardships in this life, is something a lot of people frown against. It's something a lot of people do not accept because to them it is so difficult and hard to accept such things. It's okay to say it's difficult. Amen. It's okay to say this is so hard. I can't take it, but I'll take it. Praise God. Than to say, no, it's not true, and then fight against it and resist it and be looking for how to explain it away. Such is the truth concerning this issue of the local church. Amen. Such is the same. It may be so hard to accept, difficult to receive, but it is the truth of the word of God. And today I'm going to show you more interesting facts concerning the local church, the administration, the governing of the local church. Hallelujah. In the last teaching, we saw how that at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible mentions the word government as part of that which has been set in the church. Amen. Government, which is the word administration. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, varieties of tongues. Hallelujah. Government in the church. That's the word kubernesis in the Greek, which means administration. It means directorship. Speaks of a governance. Hallelujah. So that means the local church is not a place where people just do what they like. There's order, there's structure, there's instruction. Hallelujah. There's a set rule to play by. Praise God. And there are those responsible for the administration of the local church. Amen. There are those responsible for the administration of the local church. Hallelujah. And I said that should not be, that shouldn't be such a shocking thing to find out, because the word kingdom is used to represent the Christian faith. Kingdom. The church of Jesus itself is God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 and verse 3. When you hear the word kingdom, you should realize that there will be structure and administration. Amen. There is no kingdom without structure and administration. You can't refer to it as kingdom if there's no rule. Praise God. If there's no rule, if there's no authority, if there are no authorities and rule and structure, praise God, then you can't call it kingdom. A kingdom is a proper arrangement. An arrangement. Something that has order and structure. And, you know, there's us all being subject to the king of that kingdom. Praise God. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. It can be every other thing. It can be a club, a cinema. Praise God. It can be called the kingdom of God if there is no order and structure. Acts of Apostles, chapter 1. So there are many aspects of the kingdom. Of course, we all in the kingdom have a certain kind of authority. Amen. Authority over powers, authority over all the power of the enemy, authority over the kingdom of darkness, authority. So that's what we call believers' authority. But there's authority in the church, which does not belong to every believer. Praise God. Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, and verse 3. See how the Bible refers to the kingdom of God, to the gospel of Christ as the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3. Praise God. Bible says, to whom he also presented himself alive after many, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus was telling them things concerning his death and resurrection. Bible refers to it as things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts of Apostles chapter 19 and verse 8. The gospel is the kingdom of God announced to men. The church of Jesus is the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. Acts of Apostles chapter 19. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 19. Look at verse 8. Praise God. Verse 8. Bible says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is Paul preaching the gospel. Bible refers to what he was preaching as the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, the things concerning the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:13. Quoted this last teaching. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his son. Amen. Into the kingdom of his son. Where does God add men who are saved? Where does he add them? To the church. Acts of Apostles, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So if he translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, that means the church is the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. The church is the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. Praise God. In fact, the Apostle Peter refers to the church as a nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. As a good Bible student, you must draw the implications of the words used in the Bible. Amen. For instance, those who argue against an academic approach to learning God's word would say you don't need to study like a student. It's not about being academic. It's about just receiving from the Holy Ghost and things like that. I've not, seen the implication of certain words used for the church, for teaching God's word, for receiving God's word in the Bible. Hallelujah. For instance, the word disciple, student. You can't look at such a word and say you shouldn't be academic. You shouldn't approach it like an educational thing. It refers to you as a student. Hallelujah. Then you see words like teacher, teachers, teaching, learning, read, study. Praise God. Do you see? You see words like uninformed. Hallelujah. Uninformed. You see words like knowledge. Knowledge. And then you say it's not academic. It has to be. Hallelujah. It has to be. But this time around, it is spiritual education. So we ought to draw implications, from the words that are used. Such that when you hear a holy nation, when you see the word nation used for the church, you ought to see it as men called out of a particular system into another system. Hallelujah. Called out of the world into a particular system. Amen. We are not called into chaos. We are called into another structure entirely. A system that runs by a different standard and principle. Praise God. A nation. Do you know what it means to refer to something as a nation? To refer to a group of people as a nation. Nation. Hallelujah. The word nation as used at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 is the word ethnos in the Greek. Ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. Ethnos. What does it mean? It means a tribe. Hallelujah. A tribe. When you look at a tribe, you see men with a common culture, a common custom. Hallelujah. They have their way of life, their way of living, peculiar to them as a nation or as a tribe. Praise God. As a tribe. They have their taboos. Amen. They have their likes and dislikes. You see a common interest. Glory to God. And Bible now use that word for the church. Because the truth is, as a church, we have our own custom. We have our own way of doing things. We have our lifestyle. We have our common interest. We have our taboos. Praise God. So that should let you realize that the church is such an organized body. Glory to God. And says, I don't like all this organized system. The church is an organized system. Glory to God. The church of Jesus is such an organized system, an organized body. Praise God. And that's why the word kingdom is used to describe the church. Amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 to 18. Hallelujah. Praise God. And one of the things that might be playing in the mind of some right now is the possibility of abuse, manipulations, misuse of authority and all that. Don't worry, we'll get to that. But let's just first receive the word of God without judging or looking through the lenses of abuse and manipulations and misuse. Let's receive the word as it is. What is the word saying? Hallelujah. What is the word saying? Romans 14, 17 to 18. Glory to God. Romans 14, 17 to 18. Hallelujah. Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. The kingdom of God, when he says the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, what he's talking about is not us getting to heaven and having joy, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost forevermore. Praise God. No, no, no. He's talking about our living here on the face of the earth. Life in the kingdom is not about eating and drinking. It's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved of men. Hallelujah. So this is with respect to our service to Christ on the face of the earth. So the church of Jesus is the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. Look at verse 19. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may defy another. Hallelujah. He's talking about our conduct towards one another. Chapter 14 deals with issues of receiving one another with respect to doubtful things. One believes he can eat vegetables. Another one believes he can eat meat. Another person believes he can worship on every day. Another person believes there are special days for worship. Praise God. Now, Paul says, don't impose on each other. Let everyone stay with his or our own persuasion in that matter. Hallelujah. This is basically a Jewish Gentile thing. Praise God. Now, so when Paul says the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, he was talking about our conduct towards one another because we are in the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God on the face of the earth is the church of God. Hallelujah. It's the church of God. Glory be to God. So the word kingdom is used for the church because the church has administration. Amen. There's rule in the church. There's leadership in the church. There's order. There's authority set over the church for the sake of orderliness, discipline, and accountability. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20. Look at what Paul says here. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. He was also talking about the church, the local church. Because Paul was coming to them. Paul had heard them despising him. Paul had heard that some folks were acting proud and arrogant towards him as an apostle. Glory to God. Look at verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Hallelujah. But in power, he now says, what do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Shall I come with you with a rod as an apostle? Amen. He was talking about his apostolic authority. Glory to God. So when he says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, he was talking about the church. Amen. The church is the kingdom of God. Glory to God. On the face of the earth. Look at these other interesting words used in the Bible. Hallelujah. Used for the man of God. Used for leadership in the local church. Used for the position of elders and bishops in the local church. Very interesting words. Hallelujah. That signify rule, rulership, authority in the church. Romans chapter 12 verse 8. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 12 verse 8. You know, these days I'm sick and tired of hearing believers who cannot be called to order by their pastors. Hallelujah. A man is misbehaving in his house, beating his wife, acting so unruly, acting so out of order, and then nobody can call him because, it's church, there's church and there's people's lives. Praise God. Don't interfere into people's personal lives and things like that. Such hogwash. What do you mean? Amen. That's why we have a lot of irresponsible believers today. Believers who just go on in their lives as though they are not accountable to anybody. They have no obligation to submit to anybody. You can't call them to order. You can't check them. You can't checkmate them. Praise God. You cannot give them instructions and they will obey. They are their own lords. Praise God. We have a lot of irresponsible believers today because the church is not ensuring that there's discipline and order in the lives of men according to scriptures. Amen. Several pastors don't even understand discipleship. Some understand it, but they shrink back from exercising the right authority and rule over the saints because they don't want to be labeled controlling. Amen. Say, the man is always, what is it now? Amen. So we can't have our peace in this house. If I offend my wife, if I beat my wife, he has to call us. Amen. Why is he calling? Why is he monitoring us? And things like that. You know, most times when people say they don't want to be monitored, it's because they have a lot of things up their sleeves. Hallelujah. A lot of things up their sleeves. I mean, I've meddled into cases, affairs between couples. Amen. That I wondered what their pastor was actually doing about it. I wondered why, you know, none of their leaders in church could summon them to talk about it. Amen. And then it took an external person based on recommendation to come and talk about the matter. And then I'm like, wow, is your pastor afraid of you? Praise God. Is it that your pastor is afraid of your husband or afraid of you, the wife? Glory to God. So that this nonsense has gone on for a long while and nobody has been able to call you to order. Amen. I have even had cases where the pastor said, your husband, we can just be praying for him. You can't call him to order. You can't say, hello, sir, what are you doing? Praise God. Many people run from such oversight because it does not give room for doing what you like. Amen. It prevents you from being an anyhow person. Hallelujah. Anyhow, whatever you do, you just do and go scot-free. No. That's not leadership in the local church. Praise God. At all. God forbid that I preside over a church where people are free to do whatever they want to do with their lives. God forbid. Hallelujah. I'd rather tender resignation and drop the title of a pastor than allow people do with their lives whatever they have chosen to do. No way. Not under my watch. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not under my watch. It's not in my local church. A husband will be beating his wife. Amen. Or a wife will be acting funny. Praise God. And then we'll just look away. Amen. Or we'll tell them to manage it in-house. No way. I'm going to call you to order, show you what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Show you what the word of God says. It's not in my church that a father will not be responsible in the home for taking care of the family, not providing for the household, and then we'll look away. It's impossible. Glory to God. As we began to see in the book of 1 Timothy, you see areas that are addressed in the local church. It's an all-round grooming and discipline and training. Praise God. We're not just addressing issues that have to do with your consistency in prayer or evangelism. And once you get it right, you're always present for evangelism, always present in prayer meetings, every other thing can go to hell. No. We address every issue. Praise God. We ensure that believers are sound in the faith with respect to their conduct in relationships. Hallelujah. Your conduct in relationships. Conduct in marriage. Praise God. Your conduct as a citizen of the nation, several aspects of your life turn out to be better because you have submitted to the leadership of the local church. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Hallelujah. So men who want to be anything they choose to be, men who want to act whichever way they've chosen to, find it difficult to submit to the local church. Men who don't want to be called to question. Amen. Men who don't want to be accountable resist the idea of the local church. If you are such a person, it is time for you to repent of such a perspective, such a mindset. Submit to the local church. It is for your own good. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Look at other words, interesting words used in the Bible for the leadership of the local church or the administration found in the local church. Romans 12, 8, Bible says, and he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The word leads there is the word rules. Hallelujah. He that ruleth with diligence. That word rule or lead is the word proistemi in the Greek. Proistemi. P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I. Proistemi. P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I in the Greek. It means to preside over. It means to superintend. Hallelujah. To preside over, to superintend, to care for, and to pay attention to. This is the same word used at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let them that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in doctrine, in word and in doctrine. Count them worthy of double honor, them that rule well. So there is rule in the local church. Hallelujah. There's rule. Men preside over you. Men are set above you in the local church for discipleship and accountability, discipline and order. Praise God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. See this other word also. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hallelujah. Bible says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for the watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. Obey those who rule over you. The word rule there is the word egelmai. Hallelujah. That's the Greek word egelmai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Egelmai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. What does it mean? It means to command. It means to have authority over. It means to govern. Praise God. Them that have the rule over you, them that govern you, them that have authority over you, them that command and charge and instruct you. Hallelujah. That's the same word used at verse 24. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. Now, if you go back to verse 17, praise God, it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. So we saw that the word rule means to command, to have authority over, to govern. Amen. It now says to be submissive. The word submissive there is the Greek word upeiko. Upeiko in the Greek. H-U-P-E-I-K-O. Upeiko in the Greek. What does it mean? It means to surrender. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? To surrender. To surrender. Hallelujah. It means to surrender. It means to yield to authority. It means to resist no longer. Hallelujah. Stop resisting. Surrender. Yield to authority. That's what it means when he says, be submissive to them that govern and have authority over you. Glory to God. Now listen, how exactly are we to submit? How are we to surrender? He says to obey those who rule over you. Obey. Praise God. Obedience. Hallelujah. It doesn't say to argue. It doesn't say to dispute. It doesn't say to contend with them or to fight against them or to resist them. It says to obey. Amen. To obey. Hallelujah. So something is common in these letters written by the apostles to the early church. The apostles and, you know, sometimes maybe an elder in the early church who is not an apostle, as is the case of Hebrews. We don't even know the author. Praise God. Something is common in these letters. An apostle or an elder in the early church writes a letter to local churches, but instructs them to know those who have the rule over them, to know those who have the rule among them. Hebrews 13:17, Hebrews 13:24. Hallelujah. And we've seen at Hebrews 13, 17, how that the submission entails surrendering, to yield, to stop resisting. Praise God. To not resist. Amen. To submit. Glory to God. You know, some folks will say, I don't submit to men. I can't submit to any man. I can't submit to a man of God. I can't submit to a pastor. I only submit to God. It's a joke. Praise God. A very costly joke at that. Hallelujah. A man that does not submit to the authorities God has set in place in the local church is not submitting to God. Praise God. He is not submitting to God. In submitting to God, we submit to men whom he has placed over our lives. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you this in scriptures. For instance, look at how Paul describes the Macedonians. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Look at this carefully. In giving ourselves over to God, we also give ourselves to men. 2 Corinthians 8. I'll start from verse 1. Bible says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we give ourselves to God and then we give ourselves to men who have the rule over us. Praise God. Look at Romans 13. This one is not even about spiritual leadership. Hallelujah. But see how Paul explains it. Romans 13 from verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Hallelujah. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. It says, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God. Amen. The man is seen as resisting God himself. Glory to God. So there's no such thing as despising the authorities God has set in place, particularly in the local church, and then you claim to be submitting to God. There's no such thing. It's a joke. Amen. It's a very costly joke. Let's borrow some sense from what the Apostle John said in the book of 1 John. You know, he said, a man that does not love his brother whom he can see, how can he claim to love God whom he has not seen? Praise God. A man that finds it difficult in the same vein to submit to a man whom he can see, how can such a man be claiming he has submitted to God? It's impossible. Amen. In the history of man, God has always used man for man. In the history of man, God has always led and directed men through men. Praise God. When it comes to teaching, when it comes to training, God has always used men for men. Amen. It doesn't take away the place of his spirit. And we're going to get there, which is where a lot of people miss it today. Hallelujah. Say, the Spirit of God is leading me. The Spirit of God is leading me. The Spirit of God. And that's the reason why people flout instructions and directions given in a local assembly. We're going to see the place of the leading of the Spirit in this series. Hallelujah. So, look at 1 Thessalonians also, chapter 5. Amen. The authority set in place in the local church does not in any way hinder the leading of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, the administration of the local church, the teachings, the sound doctrine you receive in a sound local church is going to even facilitate the leading of the Spirit. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Bible says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 14. Praise God. So, we are to recognize those who are over us in the Lord. We are to esteem them very highly. Amen. It now gets to verse 14, and it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, warn those who are unruly. Those who are unruly, praise God. The word unruly there is the Greek word atactos. Atactos, A-T-A-K-T-O-S. It means those who are disorderly. Those who are out of ranks. It's a word usually used for soldiers. Amen. It means one deviating from the prescribed order or rule. Those who are unruly, insubordinate brethren. Insubordinate brethren. Men who find it difficult to submit, Bible says to warn them. Hallelujah. He writes to the local church, he says they should recognize those who rule over them and as a church collectively, warn those who are unruly. That is, if you're in a local church and you find out that some of your friends or some of your fellows in the church, some of your brethren in the church are unruly, you are not meant to side with them. Praise God. You are not meant to pat them on the back. You are meant to warn them. Amen. You are meant to warn them. You are meant to make them realize their error. Praise God. And there are lots of unruly, insubordinate, disorderly folks in the church today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at this last word I'm going to show you in this particular teaching. The word authority used at Titus chapter 2 verse 15. Authority. I'm trying to show you these words to see the gravity of leadership and authority in the local church. It's so grave. Amen. It's not kid stuff. Praise God. It's grave. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 15. Authority in the local church. Bible says at Titus chapter 2 verse 15, it says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. Exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. The word authority there is the Greek word epitage. Praise God. Epitage is spelled E-P-I-T-A-G-E. Epitage. What does it mean? It means an injunction. Hallelujah. It means commandment. It means authoritativeness. It means to mandate. Praise God. So the pastor or the elder or the bishop has the right to instruct, has the right to be authoritative. Amen. Has the right to rebuke, has the authority to correct. Glory to God. Authoritativeness. Commandment. This is the same word used for God. Romans chapter 16 verse 26. 1 Timothy 1:1, Titus 1:3. The same word used for God. In the way God gives commandments to men. The pastor, the elder, the leader over the local church has the right and the authority to command. Amen. Hallelujah. To command, to charge, to mandate men. Praise God. Now listen. I know that's so scary. Just listen. Romans 16, Romans chapter 16, verse 26. That's scary. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 16 and verse 26. Bible says, let me start from verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. That's the same word, epitage, commandment. Hallelujah. Commandment. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise God. It's the same word, epitage. Praise God. Titus 1:3. Bible says, but as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Amen. So it's the same word used for the pastor, for the elder. Amen. It can be authoritative. Hallelujah. It can be authoritative. It is not to give advice or suggestions in certain matters. It is to be authoritative. Is to give injunctions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I know it's so scary, like I said. It's so scary. But listen. Listen. The reason why many times there's the possibility of an abuse or misuse and manipulations and all that is because of the way the authority is conferred upon the leadership of the local church. Praise God. That is, from everything we have read, it's clear from scriptures that the kind of authority conferred on the leadership of the local church is so huge. Amen. Why would you say people should surrender submit, yield to people, hallelujah, to obey. Amen. It's such a huge authority. Praise God. Now, that exactly is the reason why abuse and misuse and manipulation is possible. Praise God. That is the reason why, for instance, a policeman can extort people and manipulate them and assault them is because of the authority he has. Amen. The reason why a president can, manipulate the country and, misuse his position is because of the kind of authority that he has. Hallelujah. When the Bible says to submit to the governing authorities, no authority is, exists except that which is from God. Romans 13. It doesn't mean that every government official is going to do the will of God. Amen. That authority vested in them can either be used to serve the people or to serve their own selfish interest. Praise God. It can either be used for the people or against the people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Such is the case of the authority in the local church also. Amen. So that means if a wicked man gets a hold of that authority, he will use it for selfish reasons. Praise God. So there's no need panicking and saying, why should pastors have this kind of authority? It's about looking for the right person to submit to. Amen. If I get into a local assembly and I discover that the pastor is wielding his authority in a very negative, way, he's using his authority in the wrong direction, then I leave. Hallelujah. But we cannot dispute the fact that authority has been given to the leadership of the local church to lead men, to discipline men, to set in their lives order and accountability. Praise God. But that authority itself can be misused, can be abused. Men can be manipulated with the same authority. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. Paul speaking, he says, "What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." Praise God. That I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. So there's the possibility of abuse. And what was Paul talking about in this place? Amen. What exactly was Paul talking about in this place? Look at verse 16. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." So Paul was not extorting and exploiting the saints while preaching the gospel. Praise God. He wasn't taking advantage of men. Amen. He says, "I present it without charge." Hallelujah. Without charge. So there are folks who abuse their authority in the gospel. All manner of abuses. So while Paul made up his mind to not abuse his authority, look at these other folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There were other people who were manipulating the saints with their authority. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 16, as I begin to close, Bible says, "I say again, let no one think me as a fool, if otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise." Verse 20, "For you put up with it, if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you," praise God, "if one exalts himself," imagine that someone takes from you, that is to exploit you. "If one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face," imagine striking people in the face. Praise God. "To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that." Now that's a good man. That's a good leader. Paul says we were too weak for such things. But there were folks who were doing this. Hallelujah. We've heard of cases of pastors or, church leaders slapping church members. We've heard of cases of, pastors asking their church members to lay down everything. Just lay everything. Amen. Manipulating and extorting the saints. It's poor. It's bad. It's a misuse and an abuse of one's authority in Christ Jesus over the local church. Hallelujah. So I know that there's the possibility of abuse and misuse. I know these things well. I'm a pastor. Amen. And I've had first-hand experiences even in different places. But the truth of the word still stands. Amen. There's authority to be submitted to in the local church. So we must not rob ourselves of the benefits of submitting to sound spiritual leadership because of our bad experiences with men who abused and misused their authority in Christ. Glory to God. You will turn out better in 1 month than you turn out to be all by yourself in a year if you submit to sound spiritual leadership. I know what I'm saying. In a month, just 1 month or two, you turn out better than you would have turned out to be if you were to do all by yourself in a year or two or three or four. I've seen people who have been Christians for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years making more progress in 3 months of submitting to sound spiritual leadership than they've ever made all their lives. Praise God. It is God's wisdom. Hallelujah. I feel a leading to pray for every heart, every hurting heart this morning. Based on your past experiences with certain leaders, local churches, I feel a need to pray for your heart in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that you find healing today. In the name of Jesus, that your heart is healed from this pain and hurt. From this pain and hurt. In the name of Jesus, that you submit your mind to the truth of the Word of God. That you submit your mind to the wisdom of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I've prayed. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, spiritual songs, full of faith and power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.